Welcome to the University of California San Francisco Sports Medicine Podcast featuring Dr. Brian Feely, Dr. Drew Lansdowne, and Dr. Neera Pundia, covering hot topics in sports medicine and society. We hope you enjoy our podcast and we look forward to talking with you. Take care. All right. Welcome to the second edition of the UCSF Sports Medicine Podcast, 6 to 8 weeks. We're once again back with myself, Dr. Drew Lansdowne, and Dr. Brian Feely. I'm Dr. Neera Pundia. And today we're going to talk about return to baseball with Major League Baseball approving their 60-game season. There are a lot of different issues that we need to talk about. And I think just overall, from a national perspective, how are we going to keep these players safe? We can talk about injuries a little bit later, but Drew, what do you think about keeping these players safe as we go back into to training and getting back into games?
Yeah, and I think, that's obviously probably the biggest question as we look to restart sports in the country. There's a good testing regimen planned. We have already seen some positive tests crop up at spring training facilities. So I think, that just drives home the point that no matter what we do, the virus is everywhere, and it'll be hard to, really prevent it from infiltrating. But, just making sure that we have a good testing process, maintaining, appropriate distance when everyone can, sticking with, good hand hygiene, other preventative measures. But I think the testing will really be key to keep everyone safe.
And I just don't think baseball players are, hygiene and baseball don't necessarily go very well. I mean, there's this whole, the biggest thing that came out today was no spitting will be allowed. I mean, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. If you can't spit, how effective are these things going to be? I just can't see it working very well. Brian, what are your thoughts? You get a bunch of people in the clubhouse. Baseball, spitting, dirt, tobacco, sunflower seeds, it's just going to change the culture of baseball.
Well, I think they should just go back to chewing tobacco and just not spitting, and they can just swallow, and maybe that's a different health concern that we can worry about. But I think overall, baseball has the potential to be one of the safer sports. So if you think about South Korea, went back pretty early. They did a lot of things to kind of distance themselves during the game. You could, in theory, have baseball players out on the field in masks. I'm not sure how much it would necessarily hurt the outfielders and infielders. I would argue that it's probably not the best idea for pitchers and catchers, especially in the summer, and batters might not be the safest to be in a mask also. But I think there are options that they could do both within games, but I totally agree with Drew. I think the hard part is that unlike the NBA and WNBA, they're not performing in a bubble. Some of the teams, especially in Texas, look like they're going to have fans in the stadium. And I think I would be concerned if I'm a player. One of the things that I think is going to be really tough is figuring out what their health risks would be after they got positive. It sounds like from some of the athletes that have already tested positive in other sports that they don't feel like they're entirely themselves now. And we have no idea what they're going to be like in 1 year or 5 years. So asking them to all of a sudden say, well, come back for a 60-game season. But by the way, if you test positive because of this, this might be a life-altering problem for you that affects your athletic performance. I think it's interesting in that we've never actually had this problem before, but I'm not entirely excited to see what the outcome is.
You hear all these stories of runners who are out there who are like these great marathon runners, very active. They get COVID, and even with a very mild case, they have these respiratory issues they can't get back. And we haven't even touched what it does to your musculoskeletal system. So I agree, that's something we're just not talking a lot about is what's going to happen to these players 2-3 years down the road. Is their hand-eye coordination worse? Are they not able to maintain their balance? So we don't know. And I think it's great to get players out there, but we just don't know what it's going to do in terms of performance, especially with the small data we have from the regular people who have gotten sick from it.
Would you think the testing is actually going to be effective in this situation?
I think it'll be hard to implement it on such a wide scale, and especially with teams traveling between cities, and you might be able to really test and control a group of 25 people, but then expand to everybody coming through the clubhouse, coming through the stadium, and the larger the group grows, I think it's just harder to really keep it under wraps.
Yeah, even with their idea of a taxi squad, of coming back and forth, which I think overall is a great idea. You have 28 to 30 players on your active squad, but then another 30 that are kind of waiting in the wings. But those are 30 people that are going to be hard to control and maybe introducing an infection without them really knowing it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going on to kind of the, I think the next critical point is that, you know, we'll have these pool of players ready and available, because I just think we're going to see a lot more people injured. You'll need this active pool of people who can come up at any moment, because I think we're going to see more Tommy Johns, or we're going to see more knee injuries. We're going to see people who are out of shape, because maybe unlike basketball, unlike, you know, football, you need space to practice baseball. You need to be able to throw 90 feet. You need to be able to hit a ball far. So the amount of training that these athletes have been able to do and working on their hand-eye coordination could be very minimal. So I think we're just going to see a whole bunch of injuries. I mean, what do you think, Drew, in terms of the injury risk of these players? I mean, we concentrate on the NBA and NFL, but I think baseball might be at the highest risk.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a definite concern. And, you know, usually we see pitchers and catchers report in late February and then really start, you know, slowly ramping up. And I think the process is probably most important for the pitchers, stretching their arms out and getting ready to throw, you know, 100 pitches a game. And then now we're talking about kind of a 3-week lead time before competitive games start. And then, you know, usually the baseball season's so long that each individual game, you know, it's more of a marathon rather than a sprint like the football season. And now with 60 games, just incrementally more importance placed on each game that, you know, you're really going to be pushing from the start. So shorter time to get ready for the season, and then it's, you know, hit the ground running right away.
Yeah, I think another issue will be that for the, I would say, the day-to-day injuries, like the hamstring strains, the flexor pronator strains, those are going to be much more common, and you don't have 4 weeks to get better. If you only have a 60-game season, you can't miss 30 games if you're a high-level player. So I think what we're going to see is people coming back, trying to get back too quickly in between injuries and then re-aggravating injuries right when they'd be ready for a playoff run.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of that natural ebb and flow of the season where there's, you know, people may get a little overused, their arm's a little bit sore, they're just not going to have it. They're just going to be go, go, go. And 60 games is still a significant amount of time that these athletes can be trying to cram into a small period of time. So I agree. I think we're going to see a lot of those soft tissue injuries creep up again and again and again. And I think fans are going to get frustrated. I think they're going to be like, you've had all this time off. You're supposed to be keeping yourself in shape. Why do you keep pulling your hamstring? And I think the public's just not ready for that.
Yeah. Now, Nirav, you're a basketball guy, so you really like the idea of load management. So do you think the time off that they've had, do you think that overall is going to help or hurt?
I think that's a tough question. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the age of the players, what they've been doing in the off season. I mean, I think someone who's older, I'll use a basketball analogy as we talk about the NBA players. I mean, someone like LeBron, who's kind of beaten up and has gotten a period of time off, I think it's going to help those older players to get more rest from the wear and tear of the season. But I think some of the younger players who may necessarily need that training, need to have the rhythm, will potentially be hurt by this. So I think there are multiple ways you can look at it. But I think where I get worried a lot about is with the pitchers, because I think in the 60-game season, there's going to be a tendency to want to win a lot. And suddenly do you make your rotation down to 2-3 pitchers just because you have to win? You know, if you're under 500, but it's only a 60-game season, you got to get your pitchers out there. So I worry about this whole load management concept's going to go out, and they're just going to pound all these players to the ground.
Yeah, so what do you think is the right number of pitchers to have as your starters? So if you're doing 60 games and you've got 4 pitchers, that's only 15 games for the whole season, which is a pretty light load, all things considered, but then you have less rest in between.
Yeah, and I think it just comes down to that time between the games still. And I mean, I think we'll still see 5-man rotations, you know, possibly even in the beginning, some going towards 6 just to space it out a bit, because that lead in time isn't as much. And then I think, you know, the teams with stronger bullpens too, will likely see an advantage. You're just going more towards bullpen early on, shorter, you know, starts for the starting pitchers, and try and maintain those arms as the season progresses.
So we've talked about the players, but one thing I was wondering while we were talking is that the only people that really truly look out of shape, other than certain first basemen that used to play for the Cardinals, are the umpires, who a lot of them look like the poster child for somebody who's high risk for COVID. So is this the time that we eliminate umpires and bring in robots?
I think I think those are the most at-risk people. I mean, it's all the support staff, it's the coaches, it's the people that we can just eliminate to kind of decrease their COVID risk. And it might be time for the electronic umpires to really take over.
This would be the season to do it too. I mean, they're trying so many different innovative things, like the DH in both leagues, the extra innings rule. And, you know, I think that there's probably been interest in trying it. And this would be a great way to get people to buy in and, you know, see if it works. And it could probably really change the game going forward.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how some of the sports have really tried to maintain something that's traditional and classic, and other sports have at least playing with alternative formats. I do worry a little bit with if they change too much in terms of an injury perspective, that if there's too much placed on competitive advantages to our elite players rather than, especially for baseball, where you really need 15 to 20 people performing at a moderate level. I'm hopeful that there isn't too much of a risk on like someone like Clayton Kershaw or other aces to pitch every third or fourth day when they know that they can do it short term, but it may not be beneficial for them long term.
Yeah, I agree. It's the whole long-term part of things that we just don't know about beyond the COVID risk. It's like, what is a 60-game season going to do to these athletes? Are they just going to blow them, you know, go so intensely that suddenly the next season and the next season after that, are we going to see a whole bunch of Tommy John injuries? Are we going to see a bunch of soft tissue injuries that are just going to affect their career? So I think a lot of players are balancing that right now. You know, Ryan Zimmerman decided he's not going to play. There are other people who are making that decision that it's not worth it, particularly with big contract years coming up. Because, you know, I don't think they want to have a Tommy John surgery. What do you think about that, Drew, from coming back from a Tommy John surgery? I know we talk about it a lot. People say it's not a big deal, but, you know, these pitchers are making the decision not to go back because of the risk of it. What's kind of the recovery and what are they looking at?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's definitely a big recovery, a lot to go through. And, you know, at least a year before, you know, these players are making it back. And, you know, like Brian and I, you know, found through some work before, like velocity doesn't come back like it, you know, was before. And these players do lose miles per hour off their fastball. And, you know, I think one interesting aspect is those players who, you know, will be able to make it back almost for the whole season because they were, you know, timed to come back around the All-Star break. Like the Cardinals have Jordan Hicks and he might be able to start the year, whereas he'd miss half the season in a traditional year. So, for some guys, him, Shohei Ohtani, a few others, you know, this might kind of allow them to keep playing and not have the same time away that they would and let them complete the recovery without really rushing back to get back too soon.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to be an athletic trainer or medical staff in the season. I think there's just so many things to consider beyond the COVID, just dealing with all these injuries and players trying to push themselves. It's a very, very stressful situation. Brian, what do you think, you know, being someone who, you know, has taken care, and you and Drew as well too, taking care of professional teams during your careers, if you were taking care of these teams, what's going through your mind? You're the team physician. What are things that are going through your mind as you're preparing for this and trying to get everything all together?
Yeah, I think honestly what would be going through my mind is I hope we have a well-rounded medical staff. I think this is one of those instances where having access not just to an orthopedic surgeon who typically acts as the team doctor, but having an emergency room physician or a primary care sports medicine person, or even somebody who specializes in an infectious disease that is better trained to take care of the athlete as a whole. I think orthopedic surgeons are great as sports medicine doctors, and we're obviously, I'm biased, but I think we're fantastic at getting athletes back on the field. But our expertise is not in figuring out epidemiology of virus spread and transmission, predicting outcomes of when people have early disease processes. And I think, honestly, I think one of the hard parts is the balance between getting an elite athlete back on the field, even if we think that it might be slightly detrimental for them long-term. I think oftentimes our bias is to try to get athletes back on the field because we see that as that's the tough and right thing to do. And I think this is going to be a shift where we really have to be ultra conservative with anybody we think is at a risk for a medical or orthopedic injury.
You know, Drew, you spent some time in the White Sox clubhouse and fellowship. I mean, do you think the culture of baseball is ready to handle this?
Yeah, you know, I think overall they will be. And, you know, I think that the players are smart about their training at this point. And I mean, these teams have great medical staffs that, you know, I do think they're looking out for both that short-term getting players back and then also their long-term interest. And, you know, I think that there's so much knowledge around the game about, you know, sports medicine and overall player health. And then, you know, with as much time as we've had to, you know, think through precautions and, you know, understand best approaches, at least as we know them now, I think that, you know, they're taking a really thoughtful approach about how to do this the best way possible with everything that we do know.
Yeah, definitely lots of things to consider. I mean, I'm hoping for everyone, both as a fan, that players get out there safely and we have a season, but a lot to consider. So once again, thanks everybody. Oh, yeah, Brian.
Sorry. So is there anybody that wins from this? I mean, other than fans that love baseball, is there anybody who actually is going to benefit from having a short season? Is there something that we should be looking out for that will make things better for the players?
I think from a fan standpoint, I think that because a lot of these players are big into social media, they're big into what they hear in the news. I think that we need, I think from a player standpoint as fans, we need to understand that there are a lot of things these players are considering. In the past, it was, you're making your millions of dollars, perform. Now it's, they have families, they have people who are at risk, they have injuries, they're trying to deal with everything, you know, just like all of us, COVID's the great equalizer. So I think from a fan standpoint and a healthcare professional standpoint, we have to understand that they really are people. And if they don't perform well, they get injured, it's not our place to get upset. It's our place to understand that they're trying to, you know, entertain and do something for us while trying to earn a living.
What do you think, Drew?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's just important to realize that they are kind of putting themselves out there and probably putting themselves at a higher risk for exposure. And they are compensated and, you know, they're doing their job, but it is taking on some risk. And I think that people will appreciate that when they see everyone back. And I think, you know, sports being back will probably bring some, at least bit more normalcy to our daily routine.
Yeah, I'm hoping that people understand that this is a risk for the players, but it looks like from at least following social media, that people are pretty supportive of the NBA athletes that have decided for personal or health reasons not to come back. And it should follow the same way in baseball. It is tough to find anything that looks like COVID is going to result in any sort of a winning feeling. I think it's going to be tough for the athletes that win any championships because it'll feel like a tarnished year. And the people that don't win are going to feel like they didn't have a chance. I'm also hopeful for the kind of the middle-aged athlete that they get 1 year of not as intense 162 games of baseball plus another 2 months of spring training. And that may extend the career of some people and give some people the real rest that they needed right in the middle of their career. I'm thinking of Buster Posey and getting him back to being a catcher.
But I think that one thing that we can't do is that as we kind of try to figure out ways to push our, these professional athletes to get out there safely, we shouldn't, you know, kind of mirror this in our everyday lives, like with youth baseball, with kids already playing, with them doing all these things, like this is the major leagues. Like we see these youth baseball tournaments going on, people traveling across the country. And I too often hear, well, the Major League Baseball is doing it. Why can't we do it? And I think that there we have to kind of take a step back and say, you know what, potentially this isn't the best idea. Kids shouldn't be traveling. They're with their parents. There's minimal gain associated with it. So as much as we're trying to create an environment for these professional baseball players to be safe, we just don't have the infrastructure to do it at youth baseball, which is the other flip side of you know, kind of baseball returning.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that hasn't been talked about in areas that have seen a rise in cases. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of these hotspots coincide to the ones where youth sports picked up early and allowed early tournaments. I mean, you essentially have a melting pot of 20 to 30 teams surrounded all day in a relatively closed-in environment. And I think that's probably one of these unrecognized dangers that we don't really think about too much.
Yeah, it's leading to these huge gatherings of people. And yeah, we talk about bars, we talk about restaurants, we talk about concerts, but youth, you know, these youth showcases, these youth tournaments can get 1,000, 2,000 people all playing, parents yelling, screaming. It's a perfect setup for COVID to be spread. And it's in these hotspots, Texas, Florida, where there's a lot of youth travel baseball. I mean, these are the places where we're seeing the increases. So I think we all need to take a step back and say, what's the best thing for our society and our kids? And we all know one season of youth baseball is going to make or break a career, particularly if we're spreading disease around. So I think we need to reemphasize to our kids and our parents that they just shouldn't be doing it.
Well, I've already said that we should have robot umpires, so I'm going to go with robot parents for the youth tournament so that we don't have to hear inappropriate screaming from adults.
Exactly. Inappropriate screaming with COVID attached to it. Exactly. All right, everyone. Well, thanks again for joining the second installment of our UCSF podcast. We'll be coming up with our next podcast shortly covering NBA and ACL injuries, particularly with the return of the NBA and particularly some of the Warriors players, such as Klay Thompson, making their comeback. So we'll take a deep dive into the return to sport with ACL injuries and NBA players. Thanks again, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the UCSF Sports Medicine Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our show. We look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you again.